Begin by sharing with you a short quote from the American poet Edwin Markham. He wrote back at the turn of the 19th into the 20th century. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. Here's of God's word, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the risen Christ. What would I think if I told you that on your tombstone there would be inscribed only four words? That would be your epitaph. Your whole life summed up in just four words. Well, in today's gospel, we meet a woman who Jesus describes with four immortal words. Great is your faith. She was a Canaanite woman who came from that country to the north of Palestine, a country known to be hostile to the Jews, and the hatred was most certainly reciprocated. She was presumably married. She had at least one child, but that's all we know about her. We don't even know her name. All we know of her is that in this single encounter with Jesus, Jesus spoke to her this four-word acclamation. Great is your faith. Only four words. But they are enough to cause us to remember her 2,000 years later, and we don't even know her name. Amazing. Jesus was always searching for faith, a little bit like a gem collector looking for fine jewels. Rarely did he find it in his disciples. On not even one occasion, not once, did Jesus ever say to any of his disciples, "Great is your faith." More often than not, Jesus would speak words like these to his disciples, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" On only one other occasion did Jesus praise a person for their faith, and that was a Roman soldier, another Gentile, in Capernaum. We are more than just curious about this Canaanite woman. What did this woman do that qualifies her for such great praise from Christ our Lord? At first glance, this is one of those rather troubling stories from the Bible. Jesus' behavior towards this woman it's downright rude. Let's be honest. Jesus' words to the woman, they are so harsh, so cruel. This mother is desperately crying out, doing whatever it takes, begging for mercy, begging for her child to be healed. And Jesus, the loving, compassionate Jesus, he ignores her. Then he outright rejects her, and then he even calls her a dog. Note for a Jewish rabbi living in first century Palestine, this would have been nothing out of the ordinary. All non-Jews, all Gentiles, were considered to be dogs, goyim, and then you spit when you say it. To maintain his spiritual purity, to separate oneself from the defiled, the unclean, the things and the people of this world, any self-respecting decent rabbi would have said exactly what Jesus says, and probably then even more. So, we know all this, but this is our loving Savior. What's going on, Jesus? I believe that the only way that we can understand this story from Matthew's gospel, understand what Jesus is doing here, is from the perspective of the climax to the story, woman, great is your faith. You see, Jesus does everything that his disciples expect him to do. And then he surprises them. Because it was important for the disciples who are so annoyed by her and who are so impatient with her, Lord, send her away. And it was also so important for the early church to see the tremendous depth of the faith of this Gentile woman and to show them all what such faith has the power to do. We need to remember that this story about Jesus is found in Matthew's gospel. That is significant because Matthew's audience, Matthew's church, was predominantly a Jewish congregation. The clear message is that God gives faith not just to the Jews. God comes to save not only the Jews. This Jesus is not just simply the Messiah of the Jews. He comes to be the Savior of the world. He comes to bring blessing and healing and salvation, yes, to the Gentiles. Indeed, this foreigner, this non-Jew, this Gentile dog is proclaimed by Jesus to have great faith. It is a faith so strong that it is strong enough to break down all of our human, our man-made pride, our walls. Tested by God's silence, she continues to pray. Tested by Jesus' hard words, she refuses to give up. She perseveres in faith. She leans forward, praying and begging. Not even insults will turn her away. Still, she believes. Still, she looks to Jesus. She will not be dissuaded. In faith, she perseveres. In light of her witness, I have to ask myself, maybe you're asking yourself, how quickly do you and I give up on God? How easily do we just throw in the towel? Do we persevere in faith? Her faith breaks down all the human dividing walls of racism, traditions, and social man-made customs. Her faith believes that the mercy of the Son of David will reach far enough even to include her, to draw her in, and therefore be it done for you as you desire. It is the good news that through the gift of faith, God is at work. He is always at work to break down all of our human dividing walls. Walls of pride, walls of fear, walls of ignorance, walls of arrogance, walls of rejection, so that in Jesus, by the power of his love and his healing, we are made one. The human temptation for Christians has always been to turn the church, the very body of Christ, the living body of Christ, into our own private little social club, where we are focused inward upon ourselves, our wants, our fellowship, our desires, our preferences. And thus, we so easily turn our backs on the world around us, creating a church that all too often has left people feeling shut out and becomes irrelevant then to a dying world, crying out for redemption. Today's gospel, it challenges us to create circles of love that face outward. To be a community of faith involved in our world, locally, nationally, globally, daring to risk in the name of Jesus. Over the years, I have often heard people say, "Oh, I wish I could have lived back in the time of Jesus. Oh, it would have been so exciting to be part of that new First Testament church. It would have been so inspiring." Somehow we falsely, naively get this idea in our heads that it was some sort of sinless, perfect, hyper-righteous community of perfection where there were no problems. But just look at what the Apostle Paul writes to the first church in Corinth. We read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Listen in. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Close quote. What is the good news of the gospel? That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it cleanses us from almost every sin? Oh no. It cleanses us from every sin. God calls us, therefore, to be His body, His living body, Jesus with flesh on, to be for Him, in Him, with Him, to be a community of welcome, to be a community of grace, where we grace ourselves and grace one another, where all sinners can experience the love and the forgiveness and the mercy of the living Christ, living through us one to another. Here in this congregation, in our families, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our places of work, in our friendships and with strangers alike. We are called to be God's salvation place, God's healing place, reaching out in sacrifice and service and compassion in deeds that prove the wideness of God's mercy. Jesus today is calling us to a life of action where we live beyond ourselves. Persevering faith for that difficult person that, yes, oh yes, they may be exasperating. They might be incredibly frustrating. We might feel worn out. But to persevere in faith and love and mercy and patience with them for Jesus' sake and, yes, for their sake, because they still need Jesus. Their eternal salvation is at stake, and we are the body of Christ. Persevering faith that hangs in there no matter what, no matter how long, no matter how hard, no matter what the insults, the hurt, the rejection, the pain that is thrown at us, and no matter what all the misunderstandings might be, because bottom line, this isn't really about you or me. It's all about them. Folks, this is the only reason the church exists. It's all about them, praying for them, reaching out to them, caring for them, persevering in love for them, refusing to give up on them, because Jesus has and never will give up on you or me. And it's not about our power, praise God. It's all about His power. And it's not about our patience, it's all about His patience. And it's not about our spirit of understanding, it's His spirit of understanding, the living Christ, gift of your baptism, the Holy Spirit, the very spirit by which God raised Jesus from the dead, this power living and dwelling in you for the sake of the world. And it's not about us changing them. It's all about Jesus and the Holy Spirit saving them. A community of grace. This is what Jesus calls us to be. A place where no perfect people are allowed because they don't exist. And a place where we are all still under construction. All of us. By the mercy and grace of God. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But Jesus and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. Amen.